I think you need to give me your address. I've got bloody fuckloads of this band tea left.
Oh, good, because I do. I'm running out of PG. Is it good? Is it nice?
It's all right, yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I think we basically got a generic tea blend. We didn't get the option to choose. But there were other companies that had, you could basically make your own blend.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I think for the next run, we'll do that. But I was trying to think, what would the BAM blend be?
Something cool.
Okay. It was something smutty then. I was waiting for that kind of like deliberate pause.
Just glitter and bin water.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll drink that.
Yeah,
you drink worse. I have drunk worse, yeah.
Ooh. Welcome to the BAM podcast. Now in its 9th issue?
Almost double figures.
Almost double figures. Is it 10?
No, it's 9. It's 9.
You're in 10.
Okay. Well, tell you what, I'll edit what we've just said, and so the person who's got it right will just use that bit.
I can just start again.
Yeah.
Welcome to the BAM comic podcast. No more bloody comic book movie chat on this one. Have you got you've got bloody comic book movie chat lined up, haven't you?
I've just pulled a face. No, well, the only thing I was going to mention was the new Suicide Squad trailer, but that'll be a spit in the cough, if that.
Spit in the cough. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. This is us talking about comics, and us are me, Neil, and then there is Stu. Say hello, Stu.
Hello.
And then approximately 5,004 miles away is Carly. Hello, Carly.
Hello.
Is it 5,000 miles away?
No, I just clutched that.
Oh, brilliant. That sounded quite good, actually. I was like,
what, the mileage?
Yeah.
I think you overreached a bit.
Okay. Oh, story of my life. tell me what we have got in today's show, Stu.
We have got Empress. Actually, we've got a bevy of new number ones to talk about.
Okay.
We've got Empress by Mark Miller and Stuart Immonen.
Them guys.
We've got Black Panther.
Soon to be everyone's favourite Marvel superhero.
Yeah, from Ta-Nehisi Coates and Brian Stelfreeze.
Oh.
And I say we got loads of new number ones. There were quite a few number ones out recently. The other couple I've read are Poe Dameron, the Star Wars.
That guy.
Oh,
that
yeah, one. I saw that.
But I'm going to hold off talking about it because first issue, not a lot to talk about, I don't think. Okay. Really. Not a lot happened. Nice artwork from Phil Noto. And also a series from the Mike Mignola universe of Hellboy,
right,
called Baltimore. So the cover kind of attracted me, bought it, realised it's actually the first issue of probably the third mini-series in this series. So I've kind of like, I haven't got a clue what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not going to talk about that one. I think I need to swap a bit more on that. So
far, two things. You needn't have told us.
Yeah.
And two things that you are going to review.
Exactly. And also, I want to talk about The Vision.
Right.
I had a vision, and the first storyline has just completed.
Okay.
So it's something I really want to talk about.
All right.
And I believe you've got a couple of things you want to talk about as well.
I have. I'm taking a break from some of my major comic series because all the runs have ended or I've kind of like lost interest in them. So I've had a fun little break and I've been reading some crossovers. I've got Street Fighter Cross G.I. Joe.
Ooh.
Takes me back to my youth. I got a laugh from Carly there. Which one were you? Were you a Street Fighter or were you a G.I. Joe girl?
I was a Street Fighter.
Fair enough. No G.I. Joes in your toy box.
No.
Fair enough.
Did we have G.I. Joes when we were kids, though?
They were called Action Force. Action Force. Yeah. And I've also been reading Batman 66, which is something I've been meaning to get around to for ages. And in this particular one, it's a crossover with Man from U.N.C.L.E.
So this is Adam West Batman, isn't it?
This is Adam West Batman with the Men from U.N.C.L.E. once again battling Thrush.
Excellent.
I thought we were going to get through that with like the Sniggers, but nope. So we'll talk about how Thrush comes into play with Batman a bit later on. But let's start with one of yours.
Okay, well, it's the one that Carly and I have read is Empress. So this is a tale as old as time. It's boy meets girl,
right?
Or waitress on a pleasure spaceship meets intergalactic tyrant.
What?
This looks a bit like Hellboy.
He does. He does look a little bit. I think he's kind of. His name's King Morax, which sounds like a mouthwash. So the setup of this is it's set 65 million years in the past.
So doing a Star Wars thing where it's in space but ages ago.
It's definitely got that kind of Star Wars vibe, kind of meets Flash Gordon. Obviously helped by the fact that the artist, Stuart Immonen, has just come off a run on Marvel's Star Wars comic.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it tells the story of Earth's first rulers.
Earth.
It's very heavy on sci-fi, but you do get a great big blue T-Rex. Look at that.
Why not?
Exactly. Yeah, so basically the story is Emporia, who's the wife of this galactic despo, has got the 17-year itch and decides to do a runner.
Right.
Basically decides to do a runner with the kids.
There's a lot of itching.
A lot of itching going on. Podcast. We've had thrush and we've got a 17-year itch.
Right.
Coming up a bit later as well.
We've got what?
A mound
coming up, yeah.
Do you reckon that's going to be like our first like sponsor, like the BAM Comic Cast sponsored by Caniston?
I think so. Well, considering we've just done a round of our first tea, which we gave out at the rather spectacular.
Is that an Italian dish?
Yeah.
Right.
It's like tagliatelle.
Right.
We've done a round of promo tea with the video game rewards, and we still have loads left. So anyone who wants to tweet us or rate and review us or just wants to have some free tea, just drop us a line and we'll stick some in the
pan.
Just trying to get shot of it. It's good tea. We have drunk it.
It's good tea. I would give it tea out of tea.
Yeah.
Right, this is distracting us from the Pleasure ship.
So
that is.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, Mark Miller.
He knows how to write a comic.
He does.
He's
written a few. So for those who aren't familiar, he's obviously behind Kick-Ass. This has been picked up by a movie studio already, and he's currently teasing that there's a big Hollywood actress going to play the role of Emporia, the Empress of the series. We don't know who that is yet. She looks a little bit like Anne Hathaway. They're kind of doing this.
Right.
Like she's wearing a scarf over her head and wearing shades and a little bit's coming off every month.
Yeah.
So it looks a bit Anne Hathaway, but could be wrong.
If it's Anne Hathaway, I will be very, very angry.
Hey, you're not a fan, are you?
No, I'm not.
Have you and Hathaway got beef?
Well, I don't know, I find her to be really forgettable and quite boring. And she looks like she needs a slap.
Okay. All right.
Does though. I know it's really mean to say, but somebody just needs to shake her. Like, wake up, woman. Like, get a personality. Stop being so bland. She's very bland. She's probably lovely.
Yeah. To be fair, I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, I don't have a strong reaction as you do. But I don't have any reaction. That's the thing, which is probably a bad thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's even worse.
I know. I'm indifferent about Anne Hathaway.
So you think she's not big enough for sci-fi?
I don't know.
Not
I mean,
this part.
I don't know. I mean, it's only going by the first issue, but it's like a real fast-paced introduction. I love Stuart Immonen's artwork. He's definitely at home in the whole sci-fi universe.
So are you coming back to it then when you get the next couple of issues?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'm really enjoying Mark Miller's Jupiter's Legacy series as well, which is like kind of another take on superheroes. But we'll talk about another podcast because I think there's a lot to talk about in that one. But no, I really enjoyed it. It's got a good sense of humour to it. It's definitely got that kind of Flash Gordon vibe to it. Yeah, what do you think, Kai?
I really liked it, and it's like literally from the first page that you read, it just sort of kicks off right away. I really like it. It's a good first issue, I think. It keeps you engaged the whole way through. And I'm not really much of a sci-fi person, to be totally honest with you. And had I known too much about it being a bit sci-fi to start with, I probably would have gone into it feeling like I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it. But it's really, really good. And she's kind of being set up for being a really sort of strong female character. Which is, again, why I just think if Anne Hathaway does end up playing her part, it's going to be an absolute catastrophe for me.
Bearing in mind, it's only the first issue. Going to put you on the spot. Who would you cast? Do you see anyone in mind for something like that?
Oh.
Jerry Halliwell.
Yeah.
Fuck yes. Jerry Halliwell.
Bringing it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. No, I don't know. I should have probably thought about that. I've just got so much contempt for Hathaway. That
clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, I really don't. I just, no.
Okay.
Can we go back to that one? Because I'm going to spend a lot of time thinking about this and give you a really good answer.
Okay, we'll do it at the end of the show then.
I like that you felt you had such a strong mic drop moment after repping the Empress that you just literally threw the comic across the room because you were done with it.
I was,
Is that what you did?
That was absolute blasphemy and you should feel ashamed.
No, it was actually a respectful mic drop.
Mark Miller, if you're listening, and I know you are, still likes your comic that much. He feels so impassioned, much in the same way that Carly feels impassioned about disliking Anne Hathaway.
Oh.
What if she's listening?
That's true.
I don't care. That's how much I don't care.
Bloody hell.
So you pick up the mic drop moment when I throw the comic, but you didn't pick up the bit where I sniffed it, which I was more worried about.
No.
That's okay.
You have some habits.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Empress. Who's going to enjoy Empress? Like, who's it for?
It's probably a lazy comparison, but I think the people who are into Saga are instantly going to draw comparisons to it.
Okay.
But yeah, and again, if you're into Star Wars, but you know, for first issue, I don't know. It's tough to sort of. It's
feels
anyone...
like Saga in space.
Yeah, well, Saga's in space as well, isn't it?
Okay, Saga in conventional science fiction space.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you like a bit of sci-fi, like a bit of action, then yeah. And it's not heavy sci-fi either, actually.
Yeah, I don't think you necessarily have to really like sci-fi, though, because I would say that I'm not. But maybe I am, and I just don't know it.
It's slowly converting you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm, crumbs. All right, okay, well, that's Empress. Sounds good. Maybe I'll have to pick it up. Maybe I'll have to pick it up off the floor and read it myself.
Sorry about that.
Off the floor?
Yeah, that's where it is. He's chucked it on the floor. Didn't even bag it and board it first. Yeah. He's a monster.
He's disappeared. What's he doing?
The worst kind.
Shuffling his notes.
Yeah.
Thinks he's got a lot to talk about.
No, I think here he is. I think you'll enjoy it, though. I mean, like we were saying, it's literally from the get-go, it just sort of kicks off and it's pretty action-packed and you get a good idea for... It's fast-paced. And
Yeah,
I think it's good.
All right.
Bit of violence.
Bit of violence. Always good. Cathartic.
Yeah, it's definitely a Neil comic. I think you like it.
Okay, I'll give it a shot. All right, what you got next?
So, I'm going to talk about The Vision, but we can do that in a bit. Or we can talk about Black Panther, or we can do one of yours.
Talk to me about Black Panther, because Carly's already mentioned a big mound, so now I'm curious.
Yeah. Spoilers. So Black Panther, this is the return of what I believe is the first black superhero in mainstream comic books. So good old Stan Lee co-created this character back in the 60s.
Right.
Appeared in Fantastic Four. So for those who don't know, the Black Panther is a guy called T'Challa, who's a scientist, inventor, skilled diplomat and king, who just so happens to have superhuman strength and agility and wears a badass suit made from vibranium, which is the fictional metal that Captain America's shield's made out of.
And it's only one place. I know this one. It only can be found in one place.
Go for it.
And that is Wakanda.
That's right. That's the fictional African country, Wakanda.
It's whenever Marvel want to have somewhere set in Africa but don't want to use a real place.
Yeah.
It's set in Wakanda.
Exactly. So Black Panther and T'Challa. Steps debuting Captain America Civil War very, very soon.
Oh, yeah. I think he is in the trailer, isn't he?
He's in the trailer. And then he gets his own movie. I think they've pushed it back now. I think it's February 2018. We get it.
Okay.
So, a bit of background on the comic. This is T'Challa returning home to his throne after spending time away gallivanting with the Avengers.
Okay.
So even though he's been saving the world and the multiverse, his kingdom's gone to shit a bit, really. So there's basically someone or something that's kind of spreading this kind of irrational hate across the nation of Wakanda. So interestingly, this is a first-time comics writing debut from a guy called Ta-Nehisi Coates, which I hope I pronounced correctly.
Ta-Nehisi.
Mm. Okay, Ta-Nehisi, yeah, all right. I think he's done an impressive job. It's as if you read, you get a brief summary of where T'Challa's at.
Yeah.
Because I actually kind of lost touch with the character. I can't, I think the last time I remember reading him was probably in the Secret Wars series recently. But yeah. I think prior to that, it's going to be a good 10 years. The Christopher Priest run on Black Panther actually was really, really good, which I think they're going to base a lot of the movie stuff off of that.
I only know Wakanda from the games. So it came up in Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah.
It's where the start of the terrible Wolverine Origins movie and indeed game is set.
I didn't know the movie was set in Wakanda.
The start, that jungly bit. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's Wakanda. And the most recent sighting was in Age of Ultron,
yeah,
where the Hulkbuster fight happens, is meant to be Wakanda.
Was it? I didn't realise that. I know that Andy Serkis played Ulysses Klaue, who is one of the main...
One of those chaps.
Yes, I think he'll be back for the Black Panther movie.
Okay.
And his background is he basically is trying to steal vibranium, which is this...
Yeah.
It's Wakanda's biggest commodity.
Yeah.
But I digress. So, first issue, pretty zippy. You get, you know, an uprising, throne room intrigue, and a jailbreak, all in the first issue.
Bloody hell.
Does a really good job of actually giving a sense of scale of Wakanda and its kind of importance in the Marvel Universe. Yeah. And Brian Stelfreeze's art, it's got really kinetic feel to it. He's a bit of a veteran. Uh-huh. The action sequences are really, really cool. And there's a great use towards the end of a scene between two of the female royal guards, who are the ones doing the jailbreak. It's all kind of done in silhouette, and it's kind of really nicely done.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see where it goes. Again, like Empress, it's only a first issue. It's a really strong start.
Mm-hmm.
I think from a commercial point of view, it's gone down really well.
Yeah.
Not impressed by the covers, though.
They are
the variant cover?
There's loads of variants I saw in Forbidden Planet. Other comic shops are available. They had about 5 or 6 covers, but I was literally struggling to find one that actually really looked good.
Yeah.
So I went for the standard version. Which is fine, but it's just not very exciting. It's just kind of...
No, yeah. I have peeked betwixt the pages. You're right, I do like the artwork in it, but the cover is a bit generic.
Yeah.
Given how many big pushes Marvel have done trying to launch the heroes... Like, you know, Miss Marvel and everything always has a good cover almost every month.
Yeah.
Squirrel Girl has, like, funny ones. But I don't know what happened with Black Panther.
Yeah.
I think maybe they're just trying to find their audience. Maybe they don't want to go too zany or too clever.
True. It's just generic. It's not exciting. And actually, when I talk about the Vision later on, I'll talk about the covers for those because I think they're quite clever.
Yeah.
But anyway.
He actually did... he writes for The Atlantic... And
is that a newspaper?
Yeah, right. it's a big one. And he had said about the variant covers.
Okay.
And this article was basically him just talking about Black Panther and sort of like his viewpoint in the direction of the character and sort of where he feels, not where he's going to take it, but just sort of like how it's come together for him.
Uh-huh.
And it's quite interesting, but he said that, and I need to get it right, he just said basically that the facts are is that T'Challa is black, and it's not a declaration, but it's more of an opportunity.
Yeah.
And when it comes to variant covers, he doesn't want too much zaniness, but he wants to, the potential's there to kind of make it more... whatever is going on in society at that time could potentially not feature, but influence variant covers in the future.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is really interesting. And it also kind of, it fits into who he is and what he's about as a professional journalist and a writer.
Mm.
Does he actually have
comics?
Okay. Does that mean he actually has an input on the variant covers then? Or that is just his wish?
I guess
I don't really know.
Okay.
I
would think. Okay, so socially minded. So that's interesting then. Who do you think, you know, the Black Panther is going to be aimed at audience-wise now that it's come back out? Because it's going to pick up a lot of...
So many people.
Yeah, on the back of, like, the Avengers movies.
I don't know, it's a tough one. I mean, he's always been, like, a major part of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
He's considered on the level of, you know, a Tony Stark...
Right.
You know, Reed Richards, Bruce Banner, where he's that kind of genius level intellect. So he's not like a token character. I mean, he is actually a fully rounded character of his own right.
Mm.
He's got his own skill sets. you know, I think he's fairly unique as well. I mean, I can't think of many other characters who are geniuses, superhuman.
He's got it all. Yeah. And a king.
Yeah, and a king. And got his own kingdom, you know.
Yeah, Luke Cage doesn't have that.
No, exactly. So
he's got unbreakable skin.
And a bar.
And a bar.
Yeah.
I mean, Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of trivia for you. Did you know that T'Challa was married to Storm from the X-Men at one time?
I did not.
What?
Yeah, it's about 10 years ago they had that as a storyline. So she kind of became the queen of Wakanda and then also trying to be an X-Man running a team as well.
Ooh. What a beautiful union.
Yeah. Won't happen in the movies since Fox owned the rights to the X-Men.
Yeah. All right, but worth looking at is when the art's drawing me in, admittedly, more than Empress did, so I'm tempted to give it
and
see the run out.
Yeah, definitely worth doing. And again, it's refreshing to have a different part of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
You know, you're not in a suburban city. You're not in a city or the suburbs or, you know, a mansion. It is kind of a whole different country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a nice little take.
All right.
And touching back on what you said earlier, I think like the first issue gives you an idea of how huge the setting is, all the different layers of the story as well. Because obviously the issue is that there's this other person or this other organisation that are trying to mess up the whole of Wakanda and kind of reclaim it for their own. And there was like a whole, wasn't it, at the beginning there was... the workers that in the mines,
yeah,
the mound, were killed
yeah,
by somebody, and that's what started this kind of like fear and the citizens of Wakanda kind of turning against the monarchy, would you call it? But also like on top of that though, I felt like what was really cool about the writing is that it's not completely focused on men. Women seem to have an equal part to play in this universe as well. There's a sense of community and a sense of family about it as well, I think, don't you?
No, definitely, because actually it's a good point. Like, the cast are predominantly female. So you've got T'Challa's stepmother.
Yeah.
You've got references to his sister who basically took on the role of running Wakanda while he was off gallivanting. And then the female royal guard, you know, by definition are all female. And so the two involved in the jailbreak, it's quite subtly handled, but they're obviously lovers, right? The two.
Yeah, they're in a relationship.
Yeah, so it's like T'Challa's kind of the minority in it, but it's not heavy-handed in that way. It's only when you mention it, I kind of realise.
Well, I've always had a soft spot for Wakanda, so I think I'm definitely going to give it a read.
I'm really excited about it. I mean, obviously, Ta-Nehisi Coates is actually from Baltimore. And so when I was in the comic book shop, I was kind of like, I was in there for a really long time. In the space of time that I was in there, which was probably about 45 minutes, so many people of so many different age groups and ethnicities and everything were coming in, just asking specifically for Black Panther. The minute they would walk through the door, Black Panther, Black, you know, it was just, I was talking to the guy at the shop and he was saying that it had only been out for a day and people, it was just non-stop. And I think there's that sort of community support for a Baltimore writer. And also he's an established journalist as well. He's serious. Like, he's a serious writer and he's an activist and he's a pretty decorated author. He's done a lot of really important sort of stories. It being Ta-Nehisi Coates is going to bring in such a different, I guess, different people that may pick up this and have some expectations of it because it's him.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about it.
All right.
Right, we're in.
We're in.
Yeah.
Sold.
I'm going to mic drop this one now. You ready?
Right.
Boom.
There we go. It's a satisfying slap.
Yeah.
A satisfying slap.
Next
one that I have been reading, one that I was somewhat personally invested in, because in another time and another place, I was consulted on this one and I wanted to see if any of my story ideas made it through.
Really?
Yeah, I thought, God, dude, this is my first comic writing credit.
Yeah.
So Street Fighter versus G.I. Joe, or Cross G.I. Joe, your childhood favourites coming together. It was a huge, huge Action Force fan when I was little, and I've always maintained a love for G.I. Joe. And then obviously through another life, I had quite close dealings with Street Fighter as well. So when I knew this one was doing the rounds, I submitted several story ideas to the series. So I was excited when it hit the shelf and I wanted to pick it up. They've done some amazing cover art for it, coming out of like Udon Studios and stuff like that. There's been some brilliant ideas for mashups.
I've seen some variants, actually, it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. How much of my influence do you think is in this comic?
Well, I'd like it to be quite a bit, but I can imagine none.
Fuck all. Fuck all of my story ideas made it in. So I am a comic book writing failure once again.
So it's shit right then, yeah.
Do you know what? Not just because it doesn't have my ideas, but I'm really not impressed with it.
Oh, no.
I mean, it plays out kind of how you expect it plays out. Once again, there's a tournament to find out who's the best fighter. The Street Fighter cast, they're all involved. And G.I. Joe are there with their fighters.
Are they taking part in it? Like?
Well, they're taking part.
Oh, okay.
So it's run by Bison on the Street Fighter side and Destro on the G.I. Joe Cobra side. So Destro and Bison are developing the ultimate weapon! And they're holding a little fighting tournament to, you know, get your hands on it. But it's quite weird because it's more sort of like bad guys versus good guys. So they mash up.
Right.
But just, yeah, it's just an excuse just to have the characters interacting. And unfortunately, it's really boring.
Do you think that's because they had to kind of run it by, like, say, Capcom? And who owns the rights to G.I. Joe? Is it Hasbro, isn't it?
Yeah. And no, I don't believe that's the case. Okay. Just they've been quite giving with their use of the franchise. Pretty much anything goes. I mean, G.I. Joe at the moment's doing great with a crossover with Transformers,
right,
where it's just completely over the top and anything goes. But I just feel it suffers in this environment. Like, I've periodically picked up a lot of the great G.I. Joe stories of recent years, and normally it's handled really seriously, you know, despite them being over the top army men.
Yeah,
they normally have quite a lot of serious storylines, and that seems to work quite well, and they've been doing that for a number of years. And the crossovers can be fun. Like, the Transformers one is fun. You're getting into it because it's that Saturday morning cartoon vibe. I just wasn't feeling a sense of fun.
Kind of missing the point, really, isn't it? Because it should be like,
it should have gone with your bloody story. It should have done.
The fools. But like, it's a combat tournament. But like, all of a sudden, people start cheating and using their weapons. Like, Guile gets stabbed at one point and just flinches it off.
Right.
Roadblock gets into a fight with Akan and just brings out his big machine gun and starts shooting away. And I'm like, what are the rules of this tournament? What are the rules? It does try and get out their larger-than-life personalities out over a couple of panels or a couple of pages as they square off against each other, but just seems like a wasted opportunity thus far.
How many issues is it going to run for?
I think it runs for 4. Okay. I can't see it going further than that. And again, the cover art's worth it alone, but
do you have it with you?
I do. So this is the one I picked up, which is like, it looks like the action figures you used to buy in the shop.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah. So I really like what they've done.
A lot of them do those action figure variants, don't they?
So. Yeah. Like, Star Wars had a good run of it recently. Yeah. So there's like lots of like different art, like bleeding off the Street Fighter style. There's so much they can do with all these characters together. But just putting them in a fighting tournament for the sake of just convenience.
Yeah.
Just sounds like a bit of a mess, really.
I feel it's a bit of a cop-out. It's not how I'm used to the characters being presented. And it's fine, like I say, like, they're having fun with their Transformers run just now. And if you want to have fun, have fun. But just nothing's really hitting home for me.
Okay.
So far, two issues in, and I'm at that precipice of, do I want to continue or just chuck them up on eBay and I'm done? I'm not sure it's going to have a permanent place in my comic box.
Doesn't sound like it.
No.
I'm kind of in two minds a lot of these crossovers. Some seem to work. A lot of them just don't have any interest in.
Yeah.
But I think there was some stuff like, you know, you had like Star Trek meets Planet of the Apes, and I'm just kind of like, but like stuff like RoboCop versus Terminator is still my favourite.
Was a classic. Yeah.
And they just recently announced Judge Dredd versus Predator versus Aliens, which sounds quite cool.
The original Judge Dredd Batman versus Predator was good.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've all tangled before, just not in the same time together.
Yeah, I mean, Dredd has fought Aliens before, and I think he's fought Predator before as well, but not all three at the same time.
I still, one of the ones I passed up on the comic shop on the same shelf was Vamprella versus Aliens.
Oh, right.
And it was just played straight down the line, and I'm just like, again, that's one that you could have had fun with.
Yeah.
But just not, it was played very seriously, which is where that character is just now. But I thought that, again, that's a missed opportunity for fun.
It's a bit. They did Archie versus Predator, didn't they?
Archie versus Predator, which is fine because like the Archie characters never break the character, for want of a better term. Like they react how they would react.
Yeah.
And it works. And they seem to have had a number of successful crossovers just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Why not? If it's fun, it's fun. But you think The Punisher was quite a good one.
Like
The Punisher rocks up in Archie comics. It's fine. It's just a little novelty, but at least they're fun. I'm just not getting the sense of fun out of these ones.
Missed opportunity.
Know who they should have called.
Well, if they do a follow-up.
Well, that's me now. I've burnt my bridges because I've slagged them off on my comic podcast.
What if they can't take criticism?
Flick through it. You'll see it in your comic book shop. Flick through it. You doubtlessly love G.I. Joe or Street Fighter or both. So you see if it's for you. But me, I'm probably going to pass with the rest of this.
That's it. Two and done.
Two and done. Next.
Next. What next. I can do
the... Oh, hang on. I haven't thrown my comics yet, have I?
Yeah, you got to throw them.
All right, here we go.
Go.
Oh, that feels good.
Satisfying, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I was wrong to ever doubt you.
Thank you. So, do you want to talk about...
It's that slap, isn't it? It's that like hard slap.
The Hathaway slap.
This is going to be a new terminology, isn't it?
Yes.
Is the Hathaway slap on you, Titwanks? I don't know.
Yeah. I also did another crossover, which I touched on briefly, which was Batman 66 versus The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yes.
Oh, you seem very excited.
Well, it's Adam West versus The Man from U.N.C.L.E. This is like...
Good old Napoleon Solo.
Yeah, classic Man from U.N.C.L.E. as well, not the new movie, which was all right, but this is obviously the best.
So, 6-issue run. I've had my eye on Batman 66 for a long time. It has been on my Christmas list now that they do a big collector's set, because I used to enjoy it as a kid unironically. Like, I understood it was camp and fun, and I've saw there's been a lot of good writers on Batman 66 recently that are just, again, it's just classic Batman stories, but knowingly having fun with it. Ralph Garman did a good one recently, and then they did a live version of it on his podcast where he did all the voices for it, and that was exceptionally fun. I think that was a Green Hornet crossover. So the Green Hornet obviously got his start guest starring in Batman.
Yeah.
So this one is, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Adam West, Batman. Again, I used to love The Man from U.N.C.L.E. as a kid as well, so when I saw this on the shelf, it really jumped off at me and I really wanted to get involved. But what do you know? There's a breakout in Arkham Asylum. When isn't there? Gwen isn't there, and the Men from U.N.C.L.E. are tracking down Thrush once again, and trying to and just basically trying to throw a spanner in the works of communism everywhere. It's okay, I'm one issue in, but they do that thing where the characters don't cross over enough. Like, I'm at the end of like this issue, and they've barely met, and if at all. Batman's busy chasing down Penguin. The Men from U.N.C.L.E. are, they've got their nemesis in the form of, like, you know, Gennaro 60s Russian type villainess.
With a big Russian hat on as well. So.
Yeah. And I mean,
they're pretty much doing their own things then.
Yeah, and again, that just screams as a missed opportunity.
Mm.
Well, they're obviously going to come together, aren't they? So
I'm sure they're going to find that they've got a mutual nemesis.
But you feel they should have done that in the first issue?
Yeah, they should have got to it a lot sooner. Like, it is camp and it is fun and it does work, but it just screams as a missed opportunity here, which hopefully they can write before the end of the series. Also, the other thing, which breaks that Batman cardinal rule, the Men from U.N.C.L.E. have no qualms about killing bad guys. Like, literally the opening page is Napoleon Dynamite shooting two agents dead and stealing their stuff, which is something that Batman would never do. So I'm not sure how these two are going to gel together.
Of course, the most famous Batman scene is when he's got the big bomb from the Batman movie.
Yeah.
Like, some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Yeah.
So that maybe they're going to try to have that kind of clash.
Yeah, yeah. It is fun to read. You can't help but read it.
Like, can I see it?
Yes, you can't help but like not read it in like an Adam West voice.
Wonders of video cameras.
Yeah, like, don't worry, old chum.
Like that.
We'll get out of this. Yeah, I'm going to stick with it for a few more because I've got such a great love for both series. It has got a lot of fun, which I don't think Street Fighter versus G.I. Joe had.
Well, it looks like it. I mean, by its nature, yeah, if you've got 60s Batman, you're gonna have to. It's gonna have to be fun.
It's gonna have to be camp and fun.
Yeah, I kind of think if they, I don't know, if I was writing it, I'd want to put in a kind of thrush gag.
There are several. We're one episode in, and there are several references to thrush.
So the legends are that Adam West and Burt Ward were like serious shaggers, weren't they?
I believe the term swordsman or swordsman, yeah. The preferred
or that as well. I don't know.
Yeah.
Easy gag. But no, it looks fun.
It looks fun. I don't know if I'll collect the other issues. I might just wait till it's collected. I mean, like I say, there's been some great Batman 66 stories already out there in the shelves. Again, definitely pick up the Ralph Garman one if you can.
Okay.
With the Green Hornet. I might wait till it's collected. I don't know. I'll see when I'm next passing the comic shop, and if the other issues are there, then I might jump on board.
No, obviously I grew up with Batman 66 anyway, so I'm a massive fan of that. Yeah. I've never read any of the sort of the modern comic take on it. Uh-huh. But then saying that, if there's any like DLC on video games for like Batman 60s stuff,
you're well up for all that.
Yeah, love that. Love that shit. So like Arkham Knight, you know, very excited about being able to play as Adam West Batman. It's got a place in my heart.
Of course, of course.
I've stuck with that game for so long.
Yeah, didn't it win an award, like best British game or something recently?
Soundtrack.
Oh, was it Soundtrack? Okay, right.
Soundtrack. And I think Mark Hamill got one for the Joker.
That's fine. He was one of the best things in it.
Yeah.
As a game as a whole, though.
Ooh.
I rinsed it, but it was kind of more out of habit than pleasure.
Yeah.
And loyalty for Batman.
Yeah. Fucking idiot.
Yeah. Well, hey, Batman's a powerful force. Apparently there's going to be a standalone Batman movie off the back of Batman versus Superman. He said, talking about comic book movies, despite not... Let's not go down there. Let me throw this Batman versus meets... Sorry, not versus. Meets the Man from U.N.C.L.E. They're friends. Why would they be versus?
Exactly.
Why would they be versus? Right, okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Good slap. What's that?
I don't know if you can pick it up, Colin. We've actually got a small child screaming outside the house at the moment.
I thought I heard something.
Yeah.
But then I think every now and again you're going to hear Stanley, the dog, making horrible noises in his sleep.
Good clarification that Stanley is a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Stanley the dog.
It's the problem when you live near a common. Basically, small children come down, throw a shit fit once they have to go back home again.
They should be all reading comics.
They should be. Not using my driveway as their... Moontorium. I like that.
All right, give me something else. What you got for me?
Got a big thing.
Right.
Let's do something very quickly, though.
Okay.
Since you mentioned movies. Suicide Squad trailer?
So, last night at the Music Television and Video... What does MTV stand for?
Music Television.
Just Music Television?
Yeah.
All right. It's all
that.
Kids and yo-yos and roller skates to me. They dropped a new Suicide Squad trailer, which, as we 100% predicted, has totally gone down the route of Guardians of the Galaxy to the extent where they've crammed in a 70s hit.
Yep. Two, I think, didn't they?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, no. I think the first song's a kind of modern...
Yeah.
...swing type thing. But no, they've gone with a 70s hit as well.
And it's all the better for it. I totally understand why they started off with the dark are we calling it the Snyderverse, like the dark Batman versus Superman aesthetic, that's been almost flipped on its head now, as they've gone down the, hey, these bunch of criminals are all fun. And I think it's all better for it. I really enjoyed the trailer, and it's just reinforced that I'm really excited to see it now.
No, definitely.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, but then if you think about the first trailer, that, I don't know, to me it sounds like a bit schizophrenic, because the tone of the first trailer is, let me start again. So if we are going to go the humour route, if this new trailer is in, it kind of represents what the movie's going to be like, the first trailer is so misleading. So I'm a bit concerned that they're recutting a movie to make it fit into this comedy mould.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I'm sure after Batman versus Superman, they totally are. I mean, there's been talk of like reshoots to like get more humour out of it. Very expensive reshoots, given the cast involved.
But then you think about Guardians, that was always going to be tongue-in-cheek fun from the outset.
Yeah, it had to be because it was such an oddball to begin with.
Yeah, but it was filmed that way. So I'm worried, because if they've gone in and filmed like another Batman v Superman, very dark and serious, and then you're going to just, you know, jigsaw puzzle piece comedy elements into the movie, I think is it going to be another mess?
It could well be a mess, but it could be a mess, but that could be entirely what it needs.
Yep. But then trailer really up the ante as far as the Joker and Batman is concerned.
True, there was a lot of Joker in it. Carly, you like dark, weird men with creepy laughs. Where do you stand on this extra Joker footage? Are we going to have to cut it? It's fine. We can cut it.
I haven't even seen the trailer.
Okay. Really? It's good.
Well, I can pause it now if you want to watch it.
Yeah, can I watch it now? Yeah. I didn't even know there was another one.
Yeah.
And then I can come back sounding like it.
You can come straight back in.
Look at that face. Is he impressed by the trailer? Can't tell, can he?
So he's kind of a bit cross-eyed.
Yeah.
There was a
smile. I heard what you said.
I was hoping you would.
She's
Barlow is so fucking sexy. You can't even deal with it.
Right.
There we go. That's the quote for the start of the call. That's the start. That's the start right there.
Harlequin's quite cool, isn't she, really?
Yeah. Right, okay. You done?
Yeah. What was the question?
So, of course, you'd already seen the trailer before we started the podcast, right? We haven't.
Yeah.
So, you have a thing for weird, dark, creepy men. Where do you stand on the Joker, given there's so much Joker in this trailer?
Firstly, right. I'm interested to know why you think that that's my type of man. Is that something that I talk about a lot?
Yes. Kylo Ren, John Bernthal, covered in blood as the Punisher. This is just this previous band podcast comment.
God, I haven't finished that yet.
No, how far have you got?
Like episode 7?
Fuck's sake.
I know, God, that's terrible. Completely forgot about Daredevil, much like people forget about Dre. I've forgotten about Daredevil.
Well, we can talk about Daredevil at some point. Have you finished season 2 yet?
No, you said he's just on episode 7.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the podcast. I was not really listening to you.
Were you too distracted by Jared Leto?
Yeah, I was distracted by Dark Men and Jared Leto.
Okay.
I am pleased that he's in this trailer a little bit more.
Yeah.
I'm quite excited about it. He's got his top off as well. It's not unknown that I do like a skinny man, which is...
With silver teeth and tattoos.
Yeah.
Okay. Not? Green hair.
And funny hair.
Yeah.
I am actually, joking aside, like, I am sort of quite excited about this film though, because Jared Leto's an amazing actor anyway. Like, he is genuinely an amazing actor. And we've already got like an idea of what he's going to do with the character. And I think he's sort of going to push it to its limits, which I'm really excited about. He's definitely sort of like not holding back. And there's all these stories about him being on set and not breaking character and, you know, and doing all this. And so I'm pretty excited to see what he's actually going to be like.
Do we think he's the main bad guy? Some people are saying he's going to be part of the squad. Some people say he's going to be bad.
He's not part of the squad. I think he's the main bad guy. I think they're sent to take him down.
Yeah.
It looks like some kind of like mystical shit going on as well in that trailer. It's like, you see him like Katana chopping off heads of some kind of like zombie type characters.
Yeah.
But then you've got Cara Delevingne playing the Enchantress, who's this kind of like weird witch.
Mm.
I'm actually like looking forward to seeing what she does with it as well, because like obviously in the UK, like she's the world around, she's known for being a supermodel, and she's sort of trying to break away from that. She's done like she's already done a movie, Paper Town. Is it Paper Town?
Yeah.
And she's actually surprisingly quite good in it.
She's no Hathaway.
Yeah, she's no Hathaway.
What is love? Oh no, Anne Hathaway, sorry.
Jesus, you've dated this podcast. One fell swoop. You've just singled out our target audience in one throwaway pun.
Thanks, Grandad.
So yeah, I'm excited to see what she does with that role as well. It seems that she probably doesn't have a major part in it though.
Yeah, probably not.
I wouldn't have thought so. There's quite a lot. It's like eight or nine characters kind of vying. Yeah.
But yeah, like I like that it starts off, you know, almost with that Batman Superman. That's almost like a direct response to, you know, what would happen if Superman goes rogue.
Yeah.
I think this is all very knowing. They're definitely listening.
Yes.
Had that trailer came out, I don't think they would have had half of the feedback they'd had, half of the negative reception they'd had for Suicide Squad if that trailer had come first.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, they've got Batman in the trailer, but quite tellingly, you don't see Ben Affleck. So I've got a feeling that's just a stuntman in a suit.
Sure.
So even though you get it in the trailer, that's probably pretty much all you're going to see of Batman in the movie. But yeah. I think they're going to throw him in to kind of... Well, I've read that apparently they're going to make him almost like a force of nature.
Mm.
So everyone talks about Batman as this kind of like psycho, which as we've seen in Batman versus Superman, he is.
Yeah, they did that part quite well. Yeah. But God, let's not double back. We've done a whole podcast on Batman versus Superman.
We'll spare you.
Spare us. Right, all right. So yeah, new Suicide Squad trailer. It's looking good. Yeah, fine. Will we still be talking about it with, you know, Civil War just around the corner? We shall see.
Indeed.
We shall see. But yeah, they've gone well. They did exactly what we advised them to do.
Yeah.
Made it funnier.
well done, Warners. Yeah, well done for listening to our podcast.
Yeah, tease in the post.
Yeah.
Right, you've been banging on about this bloody Vision comic.
So the Vision comic series started the end of last year. It's part of Marvel's All New, All Different line.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably one of the most non-superhero comic book series you'll find.
What does that mean?
So, kind of the generic superhero comic has a kind of formula where you'll get two characters introduced, they have a fight, resolution at the end, probably some subplots involving kind of their own personal lives. This is kind of takes a totally different approach. So it's written by Tom King, with art by Gabriel Hernandez-Walter, and colours by Jordi Belair.
Mm.
Trying to sum it up, if you think like it's a 50s US suburbia via Desperate Housewives.
Okay.
Living next door to David Lynch.
Right.
There you go. That's the elevator pitch. My elevator pitch. So the character of the Vision's been for a lot over the past decades. So he's what Marvel call a synthezoid, which is basically an android made up with synthetic human parts and blood.
Is it the same origin? Like, is he part of Ultron? Or?
So he was created by Ultron in the comics, but there's a far more complex backstory where his personality is a template from another old Marvel character. They've kind of simplified it for the movies by having, you know, Tony Stark's AI Jarvis, and the voice Paul Bettany as the template.
Yeah.
To this version of the Vision, but they're very similar. Yeah, yeah. They've got a similar set of powers as well. They've got superhuman strength. He can fly. He can fire energy beams from the jewel in his forehead.
Okay.
In the movies, that's one of the power gems or power stones. Thanos is after. That's not the same in the comics. That's like his solar power cell or something.
Okay.
And his ability to kind of alter his body mass so he can like phase through solid objects like a ghost,
which
is kind of why I think they called him the Vision. That's when I was a kid, I always thought that was a reason why. Like a sort of apparition. So in the comics, I remember in the sort of like the 80s, he kind of fell in love and married Scarlet Witch. And they end up having kids who turned out not to be real and were just figments of the Scarlet Witch's imagination that was like fueled by her powers because 80s comics.
Because 80s comics.
Yeah. If that happened now, I imagine like Tony Stark would sit down with a Vision and go, dude, I thought you were firing blanks, you know. Because the idea of this like synthetic guy could have kids, when you're reading comics in the 80s, you just totally buy it. But now,
yeah.
The way comics are written, you'd be like, well, that's not possible, you know. Mm-hmm. How's that work? Anyway, so up to modern day, the Vision has basically had like a hard drive reset, where basically he's removed all of his emotions that are associated with his memories. So basically, you know, his memories and his feelings for like the Scarlet Witch are kind of gone. They're just, there's no emotions attached to him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where he was at before this series started. So what he's done, he's created his own family. So like him, they're synthezoids.
Yeah.
So he's created a wife called Virginia, and he's created a son called Vin, and a daughter called Viv, who are twins. They're completely artificial. And the idea is basically he's created this synthetic family and they've moved to the suburbs of Virginia. There's a lot of V's in here.
A lot of V's.
Yeah, actually, do you know what? When I visited you last year, Carly, when I came up to DC, you took us to a comic shop in Silver Spring in Maryland. Yeah. And we went through these suburbs. And one thing when I was reading this comic, you know, I kind of thought this idea of American suburbs was kind of like a cliche. In the same way that people think London's like all fog and rain and rains all the time, which actually that's partly true.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I mean, the suburbs in the States do still have a lot of that kind of 50s vibe to it.
Well, it's all very sort of like, they call it like cookie cutter housing where, you know, like all the houses are made in exactly the same way. Everything looks exactly the same, maybe slightly varied, but it is definitely like that.
Yeah, and you've got like the picket fences, post boxes at the end of the drive. So anyway, so he's moved to the suburbs, and so he's created this family, but they're not like him. You know, they kind of lack the experience of being normal, is probably the better way of putting it. So they're trying to fit in and integrate with this kind of like society. So you know, the kids go off to high school, and you kind of know this is all going to go tits up.
They're going to go tits,
You know, anyone who's seen Frankenstein knows you start mucking about and creating your own life. It's never going to go to plan. But even like in the first issue, you've got this setup, you've got them meeting the neighbours, and you kind of know that something bad's going to happen. So something does happen between Virginia and the kids whilst the Vision's off doing Avengery type stuff. So when it does happen, it's genuinely shocking. It's like really violent, really brutal. I won't say what because I kind of don't want to spoil it. But what happens is basically something happens between the three of them and Virginia decides that she needs to cover it up and not tell the Vision. And so as these things unravel, you've got neighbours start blackmailing them. The kids start acting up at school. You know, even though these are synthetic kids, they're still having problems dealing with this. And then, yeah, the Vision starts to lie to cover him up with the authorities without knowing what he's covering up.
Right.
And it's just really well done. It's got this kind of slowly creeping psychological drama that kind of plays out. It's helped largely by there's a narrator throughout the series who's anonymous until like the final issue, which is issue 6.
Mm-hmm.
I should say it's the final issue of this opening storyline. There's more to come. But yeah, I really like how it's done, you know, through the awkward social interactions.
Sounds really good.
Yeah, and like the artwork itself is really cool as well. So, Gabriel Hernandez Walters, the artist, and I like how he's depicted the Visions. They kind of got this like crash test dummy feel. So whilst all the other sort of human characters have their, you know, expressions, like the Visions have like this white blank eyed, so they're kind of that plasticky faux human. So it's kind of unsettling. And so when you see him kind of acting up, it kind of has an even more of a creepy effect. A recent example would be like the movie Ex Machina. It's kind of got that feel, but they're less human-like, which might be a bit of a contrast to people who kind of, their Vision is Paul Bettany from Age of Ultron, which is technically a guy just painted red. You know, these Visions are very almost featureless.
So if you're picking this up after only having seen Age of Ultron, it's going to be a bit of a culture shock.
Possibly.
Right.
Possibly. I think there'd probably be more of a culture shock, I think, towards the end of the series where when there's like a bit, you know, when it's revealed who the narrator is, there may be, in fact, there will be a lot of, I don't get this.
Yeah.
For people who don't know the Vision's backstory, because it does harken back to the 80s and sort of, you know, the history between the Vision and the Scarlet Witch, which that's my only sort of like criticism, I think. I mean, I got it and I kind of get where this is going, but I think for people who don't...
But I wouldn't if I read it.
No, I mean, you know, there's like the final panel in the last issue is a really cool shot that people will get, but yeah, the narrator, the artist narrator, I think is kind of lost. But I really like it. I mean, you know, if they ever did a movie or TV version of this, you could totally hear like Radiohead's Fake Plastic Trees or Soundgarden's Black Hole Sun on the soundtrack. like I say, I mentioned like Desperate Housewives earlier. It's got that kind of vibe to it where, you know, beneath this kind of facade of normalcy. And actually the one thing I will shout out as well are the covers.
Yeah.
So they've got a kind of Norman Rockwell feel to them, this kind of idealised 50s, you know, nuclear family. But each one I've noticed now, and I've got all six, they take something that's kind of acceptably normal and suburban, but there's like kind of like a subtly dark twist that gets darker as each issue's cover goes on. So the first issue, you've got the family kind of waving at, you know, at us outside their front house, but they've actually phased through the front door. I'll show you that. So it's kind of quite...
Oh, wow.
That's quite weird. Cool. That's quite funny. And then it kind of gets a bit weirder. So like the second issue, you've got like the postbox, typical postbox, but it's kind of, you know, it's not on a post. It's kind of levitated up using his tech.
It's all really nice colours as well, like really easy to look at.
Yeah. And my favourite one is actually the third one where it's got like Virginia like doing the housework, but she's like covering a body underneath the carpet. So that's kind of really, really cool. So it's a big shout out for those ones. So yeah, hats off to Mark Del Mundo who did the first few of those, and then Marco D'Alfonso kind of took them up for the last few issues. So yeah, I really, really recommend it. I mean, for me, it's out of all the titles that came out of All New, All Different over the last 6 months, that's definitely my favourite. 5-star.
So this run's ended now then?
First story arc's just finished, and it's kicking off the next story arc. Yeah, I don't want to give too much away. I think, yeah, it deserves to be read. With kind of knowing as little as possible, really, just bearing in mind it's kind of an alternative take, and don't go in expecting it to be like a superhero slugfest, because you're not going to get that. It's to do with relationships. It deals with issues of, you know, acceptance and, you know, prejudice. There's a lot of kind of overtones and undertones.
Sounds good.
Two tones, three tones, four tones, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Waffle, waffle, waffle. We'll cut that out. Yeah. So I really, really recommend it.
Huh, all right.
So have a little read at that then.
Yeah. You just fish out of water, just something really different.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to mic drop that one as well.
Do it.
Bam.
All right.
Oh, wow. That was a good one.
That was six Fancy. Issues. That was six issues. That was.
Oh. We've literally got through so many comics. I don't even know what our running time is. We've done a lot of work today.
It'll just be an hour, I think, once we've cut this. So,
rums.
There you go.
Rums. All right. Anything else? Are we good?
I think we're good.
We're good. All right.
I've got work to do now, haven't I?
That's true.
I suppose. Yeah. Not for us. Time difference, sucker. Anyway, thanks for listening. You can find me on Twitter at Neil Gortz. Too, where can they find you?
Find me on Tsunami.
And Carly, where can they find you?
At Carly Moxie Kim.
All right, there we go. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And I guess you can also find us at BAM Comics Cast on Twitter as well.
Yeah, you better be following BAM Comics Cast.
They will be.
Or else. Tweet us if you want tea.
Knuckle sandwich.
Yeah, knuckle sandwich.
Tweet us if you want a halfway slap.
Yeah, tweet us if you want A, a knuckle sandwich, B, a halfway slap, C, Some tea.
That could be our first Twitter poll.
Or thrush.
Yeah, or thrush.
Oh, Christ, no. Right, definitely the right place to end it. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. Bye.
No one likes thrush, do they?
No one likes sitting in a bath of yogurt.
Oh my god! How bad have you had thrush then?
Never had it.